Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update, more of an introduction, from Canagold Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol CCM, and on the OTCQX under the symbol CRCUF. I'm chatting with the CEO, Scott Eldridge. Now, I was introduced to Canagold just recently by the chairman and founder, Bradley Cook, also tied in with Endeavor Silver. Now, this company has been around for a while, but it recently went through a name change, some pretty big corporate level changes last summer. And before we get into the projects, that's where I want to start here, Scott, is with these changes that happened last summer. It was a name change, it was a new strategy, and some new management team members. Take us through last summer and the different focus that the company is taking now, please.
Right. Well, first of all, thanks for hosting me today, Corey. Definitely appreciate the opportunity to speak here. So just as a very brief introduction, as you said, Canagold is a gold exploration and development company focused on Canada. And to dive right into those corporate level changes that you mentioned, last summer, August 2020, we announced a series of corporate level changes all within one news release. And those changes included changing the name from CanArc to Canagold. And that was not for the purpose of just changing the name. It actually does reflect our new corporate level strategy, where we are now 100% focused in Canada and truly focused on our 100% owned New Polaris project in British Columbia. So it wasn't a name change just for the sake of it. There is a strategic reason behind that. In addition to that, we brought on a new director, a gentleman named Andrew Bowring. Many people in the audience would recognize his name. He's one of the founders of Prime Mining, a very successful gold development play in Mexico. We also brought on a new VP of exploration, a gentleman named Troy Gill. He originates out of Rio Tinto, where he twice won their internal award for Discovery of the Year. And earlier on in his career, he also worked at Peak Gold Mines in Australia, which was a very similar mine to what we have at New Polaris. In addition to that, we also had a 5-for-1 share consolidation. And we also announced 3.2 million Canadian equity financing that was substantially oversubscribed. And we decided to upsize that financing to $8.4 million. And there was a strong participation from the board, management, as well as our largest shareholders, which includes Eric Sprott, who owns 10%, and the Rufford Gold Fund from London, England. So those events combined was all sort of wrapped around a news release in August 2020. And that was what we collectively call the rebirth of the company. And that's catapulted us forward to where we are today.
All right, let's talk about the flagship property then, this New Polaris project in northwest British Columbia. Now, your company has held this project for a while. You have spent a significant amount of money here to build up a current resource and also a PEA that was released back in 2019. The current resource, little over 1 million ounces in indicated and inferred at a high grade, over 10 grams per ton gold on average. Take us through this resource and PEA, please. More the fundamental value within the company.
Right. So I'll just start off with a very brief history on the project. So this is a brownfield site where there was underground production here during the 30s and 40s. And during that time, they were mining at 10 grams per ton. And they were producing gold in a concentrate and shipping it south to a smelter down in Washington State. So that's, you know, the very brief history of the project. Fast forward to today, what we have is a National Instrument 43-101, 1 million ounce resource at 10 grams per ton, as you said, Corey. And it's important to point out that 10 grams already factors in a 20% mining dilution rate. So if this were a mine today, that would be the head grade to the mill. And given the high grade nature of the project, it is very, very robust. So we did a PEA on the project in May 2020. That was run at $1,500 gold. Today we're just above $1,800 gold. So any of the economic results are better today than they are at $1,500 gold. Just to briefly mention those results, the after-tax IRR is 56%. The NPV in Canadian dollars is about $500 million, and it has a very quick after-tax payback of less than 2 years. And the resource itself is sort of split 50-50 right now between indicated and inferred. So we do have a drill program that we just recently commenced that has two purposes. Number one is infill the inferred to bring it up category, and also some deeper exploration holes, Corey.
Okay, so again, the fundamental value there in that PEA and the resource, but the drill program, 24,000 meters, total of around 47 holes. You mentioned the balance between infill and also exploration. Let's just summarize that whole drill program then. What is the balance going to be between infill and true exploration here?
Right, so this is a very accessible, but it is a fly-in, fly-out operation. So we are in northwestern BC, and we are in close proximity to Juneau on the Alaskan side. And then on the BC side where we are situated, the closest town is Atlin. So we typically mobilize out of Atlin. It's about 40 minutes away to the project. So as I said, very accessible. And the drill program itself, we're running two diamond drill rigs there right now. A few days ago, we just announced the first drill results, which are infill holes. And these results definitely exceeded our expectations. Yes, we fully expected that these drill holes would pierce the ore body, given they are infill holes. But we didn't necessarily expect this type of grade over this length. So there are two examples of about 25 grams per ton over 6 meters. And it's very important to point out, Corey, that these are literally in the breadbasket of the mine. These intercepts fall well within the mining plan as designed in the PEA. And the 25 grams per ton is 2.5 times the average grade of the resource. So we're definitely excited about these results. And these were only the first 3 holes out of a 47-hole program. So as we continue to drill, we'll have continuous news releases over the summer and well into the fall as well.
Yeah, those drill results were also what forced or got me to reach out to you for the update, because on top of that, almost 25 grams per ton gold over 6.6 meters, it was also almost 16 grams per ton gold over 13 meters. So that's the infill portion of the program, converting that almost 500,000 ounces into the indicated category. What about the exploration component here? You guys have already drilled a lot of this project. What's the potential when it comes to exploration upside?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, going back to one of your original comments, there's been about $30 million spent on this project to date since the historical production. And our current market cap isn't really much higher than that. So there's definitely a value opportunity here for our shareholders. And more specifically about the actual drilling, Corey. So as you mentioned, we have 1 million ounces at 10 grams. That's the base case scenario, which is very robust. That's enough to move this project forward and look at building a mine, or, you know, perhaps we get taken out on the M&A side. But there still is that blue sky component that's yet to be unveiled or potentially unveiled. So this is a mesothermal gold vein system. And what that really means is that this ore body is shallow, but it could go for a much deeper depth if it extends down plunge. And we've only drilled it to a maximum depth of about 600 meters below the surface. And typical mesothermal systems that you would see in the Red Lake Camp of Ontario or even in Australia, they'll go for 1,000 to 2,000 meters. So we're happy to say that, yes, there is that blue sky potential here. And we're looking to unveil that potential by drilling 2 deeper holes that would aim to pierce the ore body approximately 200 meters to 250 meters below the current maximum depth. And if those holes hit on the grade over width that we need to be economic, then the market can get out their own calculators and probably start to say, yes, this is a 1.3 or a 1.5 million ounce ore body versus 1 million ounces. All that remains to be seen, but we're definitely excited about these deeper holes, Corey, and we'll start drilling the first deeper hole in the next couple of weeks here in July.
Okay, good time frame for that. And I know that those deeper holes do take a bit longer to drill, plus you also have the turnaround time in the assay labs, but sounds like you are progressing with this drill program. After the drill program, What is the strategy? Are we going to see an updated resource? Are you going to go into any other economic studies? Give us some insights on what's coming after that drilling, please.
Right. I don't mean to sound evasive, but the results of those two deeper holes will ultimately determine the path forward for the company and the project. If those two holes hit, then we would most certainly spend more time and attention on drilling. And if they don't get the grade over width that we're looking for, then we would probably move the current resource, which would be upgraded to measured and indicated, towards a feasibility study. Most certainly for value creation, we'd love to still remain in that sort of resource expansion category versus moving in the development path of building a mine. And the market is certainly looking for the flashier numbers of 100,000 ounces over 10 years, which we don't quite have. We're at about 80,000 ounces over 8 years from the PA. But, you know, a 20 to 30% increase in our current resource would take us up to that sort of 100,000 ounces over 10 years production profile, which is our minimum goal as a management team. So to really answer your question, we have to wait for those drilling results, and that would be determining whether or not we focused still on expanding the resource or moving it towards feasibility study.
Now, Scott, just a quick question regarding big picture for this project. Look, obviously every project is for sale. If a great offer comes in, I believe any company will take that as a takeover. But your team, it sounds like you also have the ability to build this mine. So how are you going to, I guess, move this forward with still that option of building this mine? You look at the initial CapEx here from that PEA in 2019, it comes in at little over $100 million, $111 million. So it's not out of the question for a company to build this as well. How are you going to balance that?
That's a good observation. So, you know, I'm an investor myself, and there's plenty of good gold junior development companies out there. However, some of them are faced with a substantially higher CapEx than what we have. It's not uncommon to see a $200 million, a $300 million, a half a billion dollar CapEx. That's not the case with New Polaris. So with the CapEx at about $111 million US, as you pointed out, we would certainly need a higher share price and a larger market cap, but time is on our side, and we are fully financed for this drill program to unlock value there. This drill result that we published on the first three holes, there's plenty more of these to come. So the potential for value creation from a share price appreciation perspective is certainly there. So we've got the foundational team that's been through plenty of mine builds, has financed mine builds, built and operated mines in the past. So we're very confident that we can move this forward ourselves. But being a public company, as you alluded to, you know, if the right offer came along, we would certainly think about it strongly to take it to the shareholders.
All right, Scott, let's also talk about some of the other company fundamentals here. Share structure, about 70 million shares outstanding on a fully diluted basis, just under 85 million shares. You already mentioned Eric Sprott as a large shareholder. Share with us, first of all, how much Eric holds of the company, and also management, insiders, board of directors, anybody else that you can share with us in terms of key holdings.
So Eric Sprott owns about 10% of the company. And that's Eric Sprott personally, not Sprott the institution. And not to speak on his behalf, but he seems to be quite active with companies that have high-grade underground robust projects, which is absolutely New Polaris. Second largest shareholder would be the Ruffer Gold Fund out of London, England. They own about 5%. And then beyond that, larger shareholders include collectively the management and the board own about 8%. Brad Cook, our founder and chairman, is on that list, as well as a few high net worth individuals out of the US. Collectively, our top six shareholders control about 40% of the company.
Now, what about cash in the bank compared to the budget for this 24,000 meters? Where does the company stand here?
The budget for the 24,000 meter drill program is approximately $6 million Canadian. So we are fully financed for that program. Our cash and cash equivalents as it stands right now is about $7 million.
Okay, now let's just wrap it up here quickly, Scott, with a general overview of news flow. What can everybody expect when it comes to news coming out of the company?
In approximately 1 week from today, we should have our second batch of assay results in a news release, and just waiting for the lab to send us those results, and then we'll digest that and absorb it and get it into a news release. So that should be about a week from today. And then continuously throughout the summer and well into the fall, we should have news releases every 1 to 2 weeks, releasing batches of 3 to 4 drill holes at a time. So it's quite a busy time at the project, which we're excited about. It was a long wait to get through the winter. We were salivating to get the drill going here in the early summer. So the drilling is well underway with 2 rigs on the site. And the drilling itself, Corey, will go until the end of October. And with the lag that you see getting results back from the assay lab, that means that our news flow would continue sort of towards the end of November. So this first result is just the first, and there's plenty more to come.
All right, Scott, I appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Scott regarding Canagold, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll get those addressed for you. We'll also follow up on the back of some more drill results, because that first batch, encouraging. Yes, they were infill, but better than what we're seeing in the resource. So let's see what the rest of that infill drilling does, and also a couple of those deeper exploration holes. Scott, thank you for your time. Have a great rest of your week, and keep us up to date on future news.
Thank you, Corey. Looking forward to future updates as well. Thank you.